First, dairy farmers around the state are coming together to call for changes in milk production regulations in the U.S. Farm Bill. They're calling the proposed legislation the Dairy Revitalization Plan. Members of the Wisconsin Farmers Union and of local Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation groups are working together through the nonprofit Dairy Together. That group is asking Congress to stabilize dairy prices to help slow the loss of family farms. According to Dairy Together, that would mean elevating milk prices, preventing dairy overproduction, and reducing milk price volatility, among other things. Dairy Together is hoping the legislation will be part of the 2023 Farm Bill. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about your life and your livelihood? Are you a dairy farmer yourself, struggling with profitability, or have you gotten out of the dairy business yourself? Whoever you are, wherever you are, do you want to see changes in how milk production is managed in Wisconsin, in the United States? Do you have questions for our guests? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Travis Klinkner is a board member of the Vernon County Farm Bureau and an organic dairy farmer in Wisconsin. Travis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Darren Von Ruden is the Wisconsin Farmers Union Vice President. He also owns an organic dairy in the state. Darren, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Darren, before we get to these proposed changes, let's talk about the problem we hear again and again over the years, a decline in the number of farms in Wisconsin, dairy farms in Wisconsin and elsewhere. What are some of the biggest challenges you're trying to tackle here?
Well, certainly trying to make sure that there's enough income coming back to the farm to make sure that the generation that's farming it today can be there for tomorrow, and then our grandkids and great-grandkids can also have that opportunity. And really the biggest challenge is that income side of the equation. We've continued to fight with below cost production pricing for our products for many years now. And looking at the dairy revitalization plan, I think we found a mechanism that can probably help stem that tide.
Travis, can you talk about maybe what you've experienced or other Farm Bureau members you talk to have experienced when it comes to, you know, what happens when the price of milk drops, but your input costs don't? Maybe they even go up.
Yeah, frustration. That's probably the number one thing most farmers can relate to. As you know, when this happens, and we all can recognize that there is at times an excess of milk on the market. A lot of our cooperatives have put us on at times different type of quotas to actually limit our productions just because they're having a hard time moving that product. And that's kind of what led us to this dairy revitalization plan of finding a way to nationally manage that so that individual co-ops aren't taking on that burden of having to limit its own producers while others who are shipping to an independent dairy creamery or even other cooperatives who don't have some type of limitation on can just keep adding on more milk, contributing sometimes to an already exacerbated problem.
Darren, I know supply management can be a really controversial issue in dairy. There are concerns, you know, if the federal government is setting these strict caps on things. How are you trying to thread that needle with this plan? How are you looking at supply management?
Well, certainly it's the plan that we're looking at is not going to say you can't produce any milk. We certainly have a history of around a 2% growth in the annual needs within the country. So this program hopefully will accommodate some of those concerns. Also, the language that we're using, that's why we're saying dairy growth management versus supply management, because really what we want to do is grow the industry. We don't want to restrict it to something that wouldn't be palatable for farmers across country. Now, of course, we're certainly going to see those folks that don't want to see any restrictions or controls on them whatsoever. We'll fight the plan tooth and nail. But, you know, looking at the future, you know, it's really good for the country as a whole to make sure that we have a very diverse set of dairy producers. And, you know, the way we're going, there's going to be fewer and fewer of us on a daily basis. And what we really want to see working within the Dairy Together program is trying to make sure that we have more producers instead of fewer producers.
Travis, I wanted to ask about the process for coming up with this plan. This has been, if I'm understanding correctly, years in the making. Can you talk a little bit about the road to coming up with this plan?
Yeah, this has been a long, long road, and I'm actually jumping in the middle of it. There's been work done by the Holstein Association all the way back in 2009, and they actually came close to getting parts of something like this in the Farm Bill back in 2010 and 14, but they failed at the last minute. And so when my cooperative, Westby Creamery, had put us organic producers on a quota, and I came across the Dairy Together meetings where they had Canadian farmers come in and talk, I was interested. I was intrigued because at that time we were being limited by our co-op, and I wanted to see if there was a different way of how we could have handled that as a co-op. And I walked away just awestruck and with 10,000 times more questions. And so I've dug in deep to this, researching different thoughts, different plans, a lot of discussions from people across the nation, from California to Vermont to, you know, Missouri and Kentucky, you know, and there's a common thread that everyone recognizes there's an oversupply of milk, but it's how do we implement something nationally that's palatable to all sizes of producers, all markets of milk. And like Darren alluded to, we still want the, you know, markets to grow because there is domestic demand growing every year at 2%. But as a industry or dairy farmers, we're actually producing 3 to 3.5% more. So it's 1 and 1.5% excess of milk that we're burdening ourselves with and causing our prices to somewhat suffer because we have to get rid of this product and we're selling it below cost. And that just in turn lowers everything else. So we've come together, we've worked together with a lot of different individuals. You know, myself, a Farm Bureau member, has been working with some farmers union members to strategize because it needs to be industry wide. You know, it's not just one group that's going to move this. There's got to be a general consensus on this to accomplish that. And so we've been working really hard to put together a plan that allows for growth. It's accommodating to large and small farms. It allows for new and beginning farmers to come in. That's one limitation that we hear a lot of, you know, that, well, how is something that's limiting, you know, the growth of milk and you're suppressing, you know, supply, how is a new guy going to get in? And so we've put measures in to allow for that. You know, and we still rely on exports. You know, that's a big part of, you know, us as dairy producers, we rely on exports. And so we don't want something to hinder that also. So we've worked really hard to come up with a plan that we feel accommodates a lot of those big ticket items.
Now, Darren, people might be listening and thinking, hey, I eat cheese, I drink milk. If we're limiting the increase in production from year to year, do I end up paying much more?
Yeah, so Dr. Stevenson and Dr. Nicholson did do some research into that too. And they're looking at, you know, if the plan was implemented, let's say 5 years ago, it might have raised the price of a gallon of milk or a pound of cheese anywhere from 10 to 15 cents. But that also means that the farmer was probably going to be getting another $1.20 to $1.40 per hundredweight for the milk that they produce, which in turn would probably have our numbers of dairy farmers in the state right now over the 10,000 farm mark versus the under 7,000 that we're at. So, you know, implementation, yes, it's going to raise that price, but right now we're seeing more than that raise in price because of our fuel prices and the energy costs that are going into moving dairy products around the country. So, you know, looking at it, is it worth it? I think a lot of consumers I talk to anyway, are willing to spend that extra 10 to 15 cents to make sure that there's more dairy farms left out in the countryside.
We're talking about a farmer-proposed dairy revitalization plan and what the future holds for dairy production. Darren Von Ruden is with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Travis Klinkner, board member of the Vernon County Farm Bureau. They are working in the process of trying to get this dairy revitalization plan into next year's Farm Bill. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. if you are a dairy farmer yourself or a former dairy farmer, or you live in a community that relies on it, what do you think of the ideas you're hearing from our guests? Are you on board? Do you have questions? Do you have concerns about this? Do you wonder about the impact on smaller scale farms versus larger scale farms? If you are a consumer of dairy products, what are you wondering about now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with dairy farmers Travis Klinkner and Darren Von Ruden. Travis is with the Vernon County Farm Bureau Board, and Darren is vice president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. They are talking about a dairy revitalization plan, a plan to manage the supply of dairy, hoping to keep prices sustainable for dairy farmers in Wisconsin and beyond. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences, your thoughts, your questions. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jim is with us in Hollandale. Jim, hi.
Hello. Darren, you know me and I know you. Anyway, the main reason I'm going to continue to lose producers is because the price of milk is controlled by the wrong people. I mean, the federal order system, anyway. Mm-hmm. The federal order system sets it up so that there are four classes of milk. And in this state, 85% of the milk goes into the cheese vat. So the price of a pound of cheese, which when you break it down, it takes 10 pounds of cheese, 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of cheese, 100 pounds of milk to make 10 pounds of cheese. The price of cheese is what determines what the milk price is, mostly in the state of Wisconsin's Class 3 milk. But if it gets too high, like it did 2 years ago, when it was $2.80 a pound for cheese, dairy producers should have gotten about $28.00 for their milk. Instead of getting $28.00 for their milk, the federal milk marketing order system, that's what I was trying to think of, reblended the price of all the rest of the classes of milk, fluid, yogurt, and powder, all into one price. So it got the price the dairy farmers got down to $18 a hundred.
Jim, thanks for the call. Darren, is the system weighed against farmers on the price per 100 weight there?
Well, it certainly is. And that's, you know, one of the things that we're looking at, you know, is how do we price that product? This plan is trying to bring stability into the program. You know, we can see swings on a yearly basis of anywhere from $7 to $10 a hundredweight, either up or down. Some years we see it go both ways, and so it's really hard for a farmer to budget on what they're going to spend on products that they need, or are they going to look at maybe a small expansion, or, you know, an investment in something else off the farm. But, you know, certainly looking at that swing, it's really hard to do that. And something that we want to see with the revitalization plan is to get some more stability in that pricing. And, to really answer the question that Jim was asking, that's something that is controlled by the USDA through the federal order system. It would take an act of Congress to change that pricing mechanism. Which is something else that a lot of dairy farmers are talking about right now.
Jim, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And both Jim and Darren there, Travis, brought up a really important part of this. It's not just low prices, but volatile prices and how impossible it seems like it would make it to plan for your operation over the next couple of years if you don't know if prices are going to be okay or just bottom out suddenly. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I agree. That's the one thing that we aim to gain by this plan is the reduction of volatility. And that was the one thing that Mark Stevenson and Chuck Nicholson, through their modeling, were able to show is it took a lot of that volatility out of there. You know, and Jim brings up a great point. You know, there's a lot of things I think that need to be fixed with the whole dairy system. And one of them is pricing. And how that price is discovered, you know, it doesn't seem fair when cheese is $2.80 and we're not getting that. That something probably needs to change there. But like Darren said, that requires an act of Congress. And what we're trying to introduce here is just one of the many steps to, you know, improve the dairy system. And the first is to recognize that there's an oversupply of milk. If we can begin to manage that, we can take out some volatility. If there's interest after that to work on finding new ways to price our milk, you know, and determine that price for a more fair price for the farmer, more fair price to the consumer, and a more fair price to the processor, I'm definitely open to that also.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Terry now in Milton. Terry, hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm wondering what's happening to the quality of our milk. With whole milk today, it seems that, to me anyways, that there's no body to the milk anymore. There's no milk fats. It's like 2% milk was a few years back. And I understand that because they can get higher prices for the milk fats, they're putting it somewhere else.
Terry, thanks for the call. Not exactly on our pricing topic, Darren, but you want to take a stab at that? Have the standards for what whole milk is and the way we measure that changed at all?
Yes, it has. And that's been part of the dynamics of the nutrition system that we live in, nutrition titles throughout the country. You know, if we actually would have the California milk standards throughout the country, we would be using more of that or keeping more of that milk fats in the whole milks, the 2% milks, even the 0.5% milk. But over the years, the processors have seen that there's profits to be made in taking those milk fats out of the fluid milk and putting it into cheese, yogurts, butters, you know, all the different products. And so that's why we've seen that reduction. Totally agree. I don't think we have the same flavor in 2% milk today that we had 25, 30 years ago.
Terry, thanks for that call. We're talking about the dairy industry calls for change in the next farm bill. Darren Von Ruden is with us from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Travis Klinkner, board member of the Vernon County Farm Bureau. They are both on board with some changes they see needed. Travis, we hear again and again, the number of dairy farms in Wisconsin has gone down. Milk production has gone up. Size an issue, the scale of operations. Is this a plan that helps bigger operations, smaller, medium, more than other sizes?
Yeah, it's a hard to find a program that's probably a one size fits all where everyone's just a winner, winner, chicken dinner. but what we've hoped to have gained here is a plan that allows the opportunity for every size farm to grow, whether you're a 20, 30 cow, 60 cow dairy to 1,000, 10,000 cow dairy. If you decide to grow within your allowable growth, you could be rewarded by receiving some payments back. If you're an individual who's bringing a son or a daughter or a partner on and you want to grow faster, you're still allowed to do that. You may have to pay what we call a market access fee to do that. But we've tried to make that market access fee not a large hindrance to put somebody out of business. We want everyone to succeed. But, you know, if you're growing faster than what the market's demanding, you're going to have to compensate for that versus the guy who's going to stay within his lane and stay where he's at. You know, and it's been a challenge because the industry isn't growing like it was, you know, 40 some years ago where a guy brought his son on and, you know, they maybe added 5 or 10 cows. That these farms in, you know, these other states like Colorado and Idaho and Michigan and Texas, where they're not just adding 10 to 100 cows, they're adding tens of thousands of cows. And they're the ones that are in some ways creating more of these issues. And so we're trying to put in a plan in place that they can still do that if they want. But those of us that stay within our lanes, we're not going to get hurt as badly by them doing that.
Now, Darren, you're working on a big, complicated thing, dairy regulation, in the midst of one of the biggest, most complicated bills Congress does on a regular basis, the U.S. Farm Bill, with lots of moving parts. How are you hoping to see this, you know, this movement you've gotten from local farmers, from different groups and different sizes and things like that? How are you hoping to get that on the political map in next year's Farm Bill negotiations?
Well, it's truly an uphill battle, but everything in this country tends to start at the bottom and work its way up. We've got quite a few years of experience at working this program now under our belt, and we're certainly hoping that it'll catch the attention of our elected officials. But being at the early stages of the Farm Bill is really important. If we came in at the 23rd hour of the 24-hour Farm Bill process, we probably won't get much attention. But being we're in the beginning stages of Farm Bill debate and having this conversation today amongst farm organizations and farmers themselves certainly should bring the spotlight to the need for some revitalization within the dairy industry.
And Travis, just briefly, if a dairy farmer is listening, wants to learn more about what you're trying to do, how can they check it out?
If they can go to dairymarkets.org, Mark and Chuck Stevenson's website, through the UW system, they have a calculator there, or maybe an easier way to get to it would be to go to the Dairy Together website. And I know they have a link there where you can actually put your own production numbers in as a producer and see how, if this plan would have been implemented back in 2014, you can play around with it and see how it would have affected you. The one thing I would advise producers to do if you're a dairy farmer looking into this is look at it in a different way. You know, we've typically gone, when you see a farm expand, it's an expansion from 60 cows to 300 to 400 cows, you know, overnight. With this type of plan, if you're going to try and, you know, for lack of better words, beat the system, you may want to look at, you know, growing in smaller steps.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thanks to Travis Klinkner with the Vernon County Farm Bureau, Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union, looking at a call for new dairy regulations in the U.S. Farm Bill.